to My Stupid Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1. My name is Angelo Gonzalez.
Hey, man. I'm Jeff Widman. Y'all.
That's right. And the Season 2, Episode 1 is my way of justifying the many months break we took. I will take full responsibility for this. Just life happened and it got really hard to jump back in, but we are back, and we do have some plans for this new season. We have some different things we're going to try this for this year, in 2022, as we're almost, you know, we're 2 months in now, I guess. So welcome. We're so glad you're listening. Thank you to everyone who sent emails and like Instagram messages and stuff like that, who's been asking about the show. Yeah. We appreciate it. It takes time to do a podcast. And so that's and I will take full blame on that. Jeff has no blame on it. It's totally me.
I'm I don't do anything for this podcast. I just show up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it needed my initiative to get going. And
so that's that says more about your responsibilities and how much you matter to this podcast than I do. So
let's catch up a little bit before we jump in. Today, actually, we're going to be talking mainly about just things that have happened over since we haven't had an episode. Yeah. So since the fall and the winter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we want to, so we'll talk about a few of those things, and then we want to transition into Sob Rock tour territory and start talking about the tour that's kicked off, and all things Sob Rock tour. So we will get to that, but I just wanted to catch up with you, Jeff, a little bit and talk a little bit about what's happened in our lives since we last had an episode. I know you've put out some music.
Yes.
Some new music.
Yeah, I did.
Since then.
So we had Sob Rock happen. I think that was our last episode, right? Was just the review, like the week of Sob Rock, basically. So yes, after that I had an EP come out that was full band that I've been working on for like a year and a half or whatever. The EP is called Then Comes a Wave. It's four songs, all originals. It's like full band, but it's like it's pop, and there's a lot of like, I don't want to say manufactured, like that's a bad thing, but we kind of crafted the beats and stuff. We didn't necessarily record a lot of live instruments with the exception of guitar and some bass. Yeah, we set out to make a pop EP, and we freaking did it, man. At least pop, my version of pop. Kind of like John does his version of pop. That was, he's still my main inspiration for songwriting and being a recording artist. So like kind of like he does his version of pop, where he infuses blues and everything that inspired him before. But he's like, I want to make this for a broader audience. And so I kind of do the same thing.
Right.
Where I still write things with an acoustic guitar, but when I go into the studio, I'm like, let's make this for a broader audience. Let's make it pop. So I released that in October, and I think in November, like the next month, I didn't even wait. I released a four-song EP that was all acoustic. And one of them was a cover of a Taylor Swift song, My Tears Ricochet. I just love that song. And it allowed me to like play with my keys a lot. I just love sitting at my keyboard and just recording just freaking sounds. I don't even need to do chords, just sounds that I can do on my synth in GarageBand. It's so fun.
That's awesome. Do you do like the hoo, 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 hoo? I'm just kidding. You know what I'm talking about, though? It's kind of like that stock, like Casio old. You know, it's like, I remember like old Casio keyboards, like the cheap keyboards would have like a few like like sounds.
Those still exist. Like, that's why they're not old. They still exist.
Yeah, it would be like,
or like a spinner that's like, for like 5 minutes. Yes. Yeah, that's so great. I don't know what they call that instrument, actually. It's not a spinner.
I have no idea.
I envision it being a spinner. Yeah, there's three originals on that. And then I released a single last month. It's March 2022. It was last month, February, around Valentine's Day. I released a song called OMO, means on my own. That song's got a very Haim-y vibe. Yes, you can sense the John Mayer in it, especially if you know me. When we finished it, I was like, oh, we accidentally wrote a Haim song. That's really cool. And I love that band. Like, they're seriously like my favorite band of the current era. So like, I love them and their sound. But I don't know, it's just got a very different beat. I don't know. It's just such a cool song that I'm really proud of. Like, just came together really well when I went into the studio. And even my producer, who like, I mean, I'm his customer or whatever, but we're still buds. So even he's excited about that song. And like, and that's not saying that he hates recording my music. He's just more kind of neutral whenever he's recording music with me. But that song, he's like, dude, you gotta like, you know, push that song, do this, that, whatever. Yeah, he like really believes in that song, which is great because sometimes I don't believe enough in my music. But yeah, please go check out that song. I'm really happy with it. OMO. It's on all the streaming platforms. And jmwsongs.com is my website if you wanted to check that stuff out. And I'm, as of President's Day, I'm back in the studio still working on new music. So I'm not done.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Always. Always working on new music. I love it.
Always.
I love it. There's always something down the pike happening. Are you performing?
I was doing like open mics, and then out of that I would get separate gigs or whatever on weekends. Mm-hmm. And then around Thanksgiving, I just kind of stopped. I got sick, right? So when I got sick, I did one gig that was like a little bit after I got sick. I still sounded a little stuffy, but I could sing. And that was in December. I don't think it was COVID, by the way, if anybody's like wondering. Because some people do genuinely want to know. Right. I think it was just a sinus infection, but it really beat me up. And then after that, I just like retreated. And I'm still kind of in retreat mode where I'm just like not interested in the experience of... And there's nothing wrong with interacting with strangers. It's not that I'm antisocial. I just don't have the energy to go to play gigs, act like I care. I have to... That's the thing. When you're on stage, you kind of have to act like you care about your music. And I can only really do that when I'm like in the studio listening back to the results, you know, and that's when I get excited. When I'm on stage playing, it's just like I just can't get as excited. Like and even though the feedback is mostly positive for most places I go, like it's just, and I don't have an enemy to go to strangers and be like, talk to them about music and stuff. Like I just don't. I don't know, man.
You think having a band would help you in that? Kind of help you feel better?
Maybe, yeah.
About it? I don't know.
Possibly. I mean, even just having like one person, like a bassist or something would probably be a cool way to change up my set and make me more excited. Because it's like you're playing with somebody, you know? It's instead of just me having to lean on me, you know?
Well, I can text De La real quick.
Okay,
and see if he's available to play. I'll text him and let him know.
He's not on tour with John, so I mean.
No, he's not. He's not doing anything, I'm sure, right now. So I'll text him and see if he's available to come play some shows with you.
old Eddie Zadig style, like just
me for and sure.
Him. Yeah,
him kind of grooving back there, jumping around a little bit, you know.
God, for me,
I've had a busy. With just all kinds of stuff, family, work got really busy in the fall. And I even told you, Jeff, I just, I got in a, last fall and winter was like a huge Metallica time, just in their world, but also because of that in my world. There was like this 30th anniversary of the Black Album, which is like arguably their best, biggest album.
I would say that's their most mainstream like success, right?
Definitely.
Like
it is. It's the one that everybody knows.
I know that one by title.
Like. Yes. So that was happening and all the promo was like, it was ridiculous for that. And all kinds of things were happening for it. There was a box set that came out and all this stuff. So like I was consuming all of that stuff. And then, as I mentioned, I had mentioned before, I was going to see them play in September, at the end of September in Louisville, at the Louder Than Life Festival. And I did go, and that consumed so much. Also, like building up to that was like I was prepping, and I was, to be honest, since our Sob Rock episode, I've been like John Mayer light. Like I haven't really,
I agree,
been diving in as much as I had in the past. And it just, that took, the other music just took over everything. And then they had their 40th anniversary concert. It was like this whole festivity where it was in San Francisco. I did not go to that, but I followed it and I had a lot of friends that went to it. And it was just like, it was like overwhelming. And I couldn't like dive into something else deep at that point. I also got COVID. I also just again had a lot of work stuff piling up. It just, not to make excuses because I think this is a labor of love, at least for me. I know it is for you probably too, Jeff. Just finding time to do this, to think and to edit and all that stuff, to plan it, and just kept getting away from me more and more. And finally I reached out to Jeff and said, "Hey man, I'm ready to jump back in if you are." And obviously he was. Jeff, you were. So
appreciate
that. That's kind of what my life has been since the fall and the winter and the beginning of the spring. Now that the tour is kicking off, like this is fun. Like it's getting back into fun mode. It was like fun mode whenever the record was starting to get promoted, right? Like it was like, "Oh, there's a lot to talk about." And then after Sob Rock, there wasn't really a lot to talk about until tour started picking up again. Real quick before we jump into like kind of the news and stuff that happened over the last you know, 6 months. Let's, number one, we are on the socials. I know we've been silent on there for a while, but now that we're back, we'll be letting you know about new episodes and things like that on social media platforms. Go leave that positive review. We've gotten quite a few reviews, even being absent. Still more people are picking it up and listening to it, and we get emails and new reviews. We're up to 107 reviews on Apple, the iTunes podcast, whatever. I know now I think you can start rating it on Spotify. I think you can do that now. So if you listen on Spotify, go rate that and leave a review on Spotify. Follow us on there as well. Those are the two main platforms, I think, that people find us. The evil Spotify.
We're actually going to remove our... No, we're not. We're too tiny to do something like that.
That's right, They're going to be like, okay, whatever. too bad the service that I used to publish our podcast is owned by Spotify now. They bought it.
Anchor's owned by Spotify? Yeah,
Anchor's owned by Spotify now. They bought it last year.
Is that new?
So I think it was last year. Yeah.
Wow.
So because they added
everybody's
a lot of new
buying
tools
everybody,
stuff
man.
That you can do.
It's
dude.
It's an epidemic now. Acquisitions.
Right. Yep. So they own Anchor now. It's like, I think they might have even rebranded it. I don't know if they rebranded it yet. I'm sure at some point it's going to become Spotify Podcasts or something.
Yeah.
Like they'll do away with the Anchor name, but
yeah, I think right now it's still Spotify's going to, there's no way they wouldn't have done that unless they really do plan on becoming like the premium. And I don't mean like in a subscription kind of way. But yes, also you need to subscribe. But like in a like the service for podcasts.
Right. They're trying to make it there. And I think I want to say, I mean, a good chunk, if not more than half of our listens come from Spotify. You know,
that's my main platform now, too. So,
yeah, there we go.
For listening.
So go leave us the review if you like that. If you like us and you're excited to hear us back bantering and talking about all the good stuff, go leave us those positive reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcast. So let's talk a little bit about what's happened in the last 6-8 months. Jeff, what, besides the tour, we will get to tour here in a second, but
I feel like the tour is the main event thing.
I do know that there was another G-Shock watch collaboration that he did, white G-Shock watch.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
That my wife got an alert the day before and was like, oh, no, I don't think Angela will like that. And she did not buy it for me. And she told me after the fact. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you don't think I would like that? It's like, well, it was a white watch. I just wasn't sure. I was like, geez, yeah, of course, I would have taken it, whatever. And she was like, yeah, I had it in my cart. And I just decided, oh, no, I don't think he's going to like it. And I was like, it sold out. Like, it was one of those things. I was like, what? Wow. What happened? It looks kind of like the other one, but it's just white. The one that he did, I guess, a year ago or so.
Yeah, the one we actually talked about on here, yeah.
Yeah. So he did that, another G-Shock watch collaboration. The Silver Sky SE came out, which is his,
which color, you know,
his
is
Silver
one?
Sky guitar. I think it's red, but think is, and I'm not 100% sure on this, we may have to have our gear people email us. But from what I could tell, I think it's just it's like a cheaper version of the Silver Sky. So it's more affordable. Yeah. So I think it's like, I feel like it's under $1,000. So it's a more affordable version that's not as expensive. So it's not, it probably doesn't have the same, maybe it's made differently or, you know, made a little bit more cheaper. But I think they made it to where it can kind of get in the hands of more people, you know, at a better price. So I saw a commercial for it and stuff, like a promo video. We were going to have a current mood episode.
Yeah, that got sidelined.
I feel like this is big news in the John world.
Yeah, because of Bob Saget passing away.
Yeah.
Quite suddenly.
Yeah, man.
What an odd accident. Like, always take head injuries serious, everybody. That's the lesson, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, isn't it kind of like a relief to an extent? Which was weird, right? I kind of felt like relief, like, oh, it wasn't suicide or it wasn't a drug overdose or something. Like, it was like, because you're almost
that about
waiting.
People with show business.
And especially if they're alone in a hotel room, right? You're thinking like, oh, whatever. And it was, you know, super sad. I mean, even here, like our family, our kids watch Fuller House, you know, have watched Fuller House. So that's how they know him. Mm-hmm. And when we told them, they were like, what? You know, they couldn't believe it. And now even my little one's like, this, I can't watch Fuller House anymore. It's too sad.
I don't think anybody could believe it, because hours before that, he was like, oh, I just did a show, and he was very happy. And
yeah.
You know, he was, clearly had a lot going on. He wasn't going to just, you know, stop doing things or whatever. I don't know.
It didn't seem, man. Yeah.
That made it all the more sad. It's just like, yeah. I don't know, man. A freak accident and he's just gone. That's crazy.
I know. That was a big loss. And yeah. And I know for John it was too. And
big time.
You know, we had, you know, he canceled Current Mood that night, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then you had the Instagram video where it was he and I don't remember who the other guy
Jeff
was.
Ross, comedian.
Jeff Ross, picking up the car from the airport and all that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that went viral. Like it made, you know,
I couldn't entertainment finish news. It because I was like, I can't, I'm not in the mood to cry. Like, I just can't.
Yeah.
I have to cry for an hour and clean myself up. And
yeah. It just you wasn't know, you could,
ready
you
to
could
deal tell. With the weight of that. But
you could tell just how much he meant to him.
Yeah, to almost everybody that Bob knew, pretty much everybody.
It kind of felt like everyone, he mattered to so many people. Even mm-hmm. if they were maybe a small sliver of his life,
yeah,
he made it seem like they were a big part of his life. And right. not to say that John wasn't, but from everything I was reading and all the tributes and all that stuff, it's just he had that ability to make you feel like the most important person.
Right.
When he's talking to you or like he actually cares about you, and he does, but I'm just saying like he had that ability to make people feel that way. And that's, you know, that's a gift.
Yeah, for real.
And I know, I think there's some words maybe or some, not, I guess rumors, I don't know what you would call it, but some news out there that maybe he's writing a song in tribute to Bob. John is, okay. I think there's a little talk chatter about that he's writing or has written a song. Kind of
that,
a tribute
that would not surprise me. Yeah, that's how a lot of musicians try to process the hardest feelings. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Moving on to a little bit lighter notes, he played this Sirius XM small stage thing, I guess, a few weeks ago. As almost like a, it almost felt like a pre Sabrak tour.
The Bowl or
yeah, it was like 3 weeks.
It was in
ago.
Hollywood or something, right?
Yeah, it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Very kind of predictable set.
Or the Forum. Know. Whatever. Yeah, it was like a Sob Rock Light type of tour set, kind of, you know, where, he brought out a lot of the Sob Rocks, like maybe 5 of Sob Rock songs. Yeah. I can't remember the exact set, but then some of the classics that he's known for playing every single night. Yeah, I didn't watch it at all. It's just,
I didn't watch it
felt
either.
It felt like it was filmed, at least the YouTube footage that I saw, it felt like it was filmed from a very good cell phone camera, so the audio was awful. So, like the camera was just like, holy crap, look at this. You know, it looks HD and everything. And I could tell that it looked like somebody was holding a phone or whatever when I was skimming through the visual.
Somebody's using their like iPhone, their newest iPhone, which has the best
so I was like, how
camera
is this
quality, but the audio was like,
yeah, the audio was just like weird to me. But I think as part of that, he did, an interview with Andy Cohen. I think it's like his best friend or whatever.
Right.
I watched a clip of that and it's very good. I mean, anytime those two talk to each other, it's very good.
Right. So comfortable just, with each other that they kind of.
Yeah, they just, exactly. They're so comfortable with each other. I can't remember if it was that interview or there was a talk he did with Sammy Hagar like last fall.
Oh, I didn't catch that. I must have missed
that. Yeah, it's like an 8-minute thing. I'll send it to you. But he said in there, in one of those interviews, he said that he doesn't know how to read or write music. And that blew my mind. He's like, oh, you know, I kind of know theory. And I'm like,
you know theory.
That's bullcrap, man.
Quit, yeah.
Well, I was like, heated. I was mad.
Well, you know, there's been, it's that, that Stevie Ray Vaughan was famous for that too, right? Yeah. I think for like not knowing how to read or write music. Like he just, he...
It but there's intuition. No way that's true if you went to Berkeley. Like, there's just no way. You would not be able to get into Berkeley if you knew nothing about theory. I mean, unless you had the raw talent that he had.
Right.
Or does have.
Well, you're telling me you know how to play piano.
Yeah.
If you know how to play piano.
Yeah.
You have to know at least.
Yeah.
How to just, you know, maybe he's talking about, I don't know how to read guitar music. Maybe that's it.
Cause I don't know how to do that either. Yeah. I don't know what,
but
that
I could read like,
is.
I could look at single note music or like piano music and kind of fumble through that. And I could read it.
If you're talking about just sheet music, that's just like, you have your two clefs, just a grand staff.
Yeah.
I can read that. I can write it. That's fine. I can figure that out.
Well, I can't sight read it. But I could tell that's an A, and that's a C, and those are quarter notes and half notes.
I can't sight sing, that's for sure, but I can figure it out on piano eventually.
Well, growing up in church, we had the hymnals. So we were always like following the melody of a song, because they, you know, in the hymnals, it's like music and words under it. so you had to follow like the melody in a hymnal.
That's
like,
why they teach that in theory classes, because those are like the oldest songs in the world.
Right.
For many cultures. And it's just the easiest ones to study because the music's already written. It's right there. It's right there. We don't have to pick a pop song and transcribe it. Music's right there. Just study it.
And you've probably heard these, at least the melodies, before, a lot of them. Yes. Like you're like,
and a lot of them are similar.
I know that melody. They're very predictable, and kind of the way that they go. You're like, I know exactly where that's going. If you know a little bit about music, you can kind of tell on a lot of those songs. But
it just kind of blew my mind, because it's like, I know you know the chord changes that you're doing. Like, I'm pretty sure I've heard him talk about the chord changes that you're doing, where he's like, you know, it's like a B7, and then you go to the minor second or whatever. And you're like, what are you talking about, John?
You don't know how to read music. You don't know how to read clarinet music? Is that what you were talking about? Maybe you were talking about the clarinet.
Yeah, because sheet music is different for a lot of instruments. The keys change. Yeah. So I don't know. Who knows? Anyway. But that was just an interesting thing to me. But I do recommend. I think I think Dear Marie BR is the YouTube channel that posts almost every single John Mayer thing that they can find on their YouTube channel. And I think they posted the full Andy Cohen John Mayer interview that was on XM. I haven't watched it yet because it's like an hour. But I did watch the clip where they talked and obviously, he's, as we know and as we've covered, he's just a fascinating dude to listen to every single time.
Wasn't there another current mood he was going to do and then he got COVID? Am I making that up? Did that happen also?
I don't think so, but there might have been rumors of it because fans wanted it.
But he did get COVID last year. We do know this.
Yeah.
And then he just got it again. Is there any more things that we missed as far as news or kind of other things? Can you remember?
Let me pull up my notes, because I did take notes for that just to make sure. Oh, I have the wrong podcast notes up. All right. So we're going to pull up the right podcast.
Let's talk about this video game. Or is it the video game podcast?
Yeah, game one. And I had all these notes about a recent game that just came out. and I didn't even talk about them when we recorded. No, that's all the notes I had. Other than that, it's just touring related items.
Yeah. So then that's a good segue then, because he did just get COVID again, which is pretty, I mean, not rare, but that's pretty.
And according to him, this time it's the first time was like nothing, and this time it's knocking him out. That's according to him. So
we have a Sob Rock tour. It has begun. We're 5 shows in, and then we've had postponed shows because everybody
not canceled.
Camp,
postponed.
Everybody in the camp has pretty much got COVID, and I guess they're just waiting to get back. Have they announced when the next show is going to be yet? Or
I thought it was just like, okay, we're postponing for like a week, and then they're just jumping back.
So then it should be jumping back in very soon, within like the next couple days.
I'm looking for the. I know it was an Instagram post, so I'm looking through it right now.
Okay, well, we do have
Instagram
a tour.
On a browser sucks though. They rescheduled four dates, and it spans over. I don't know. I can't do math right now. The next 4 shows have been rescheduled. That's all he says. Whatever is after those 4 shows, that's where he's going
to
pick up.
It's got to be soon. I mean, they have to be getting back in the saddle soon. So
it's got to be.
But we do have what I wanted to do, Jeff, was kind of.
Okay, next March, Las Vegas.
March, Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in March now, so it's March 3rd. So we'll have to go look. Whatever the Las Vegas show is, that'll be the next one.
Next week, the 11th.
Oh, yeah. So we are still a little further out. We're still another week out.
So it seems like they staggered the dates.
The dates,
those 4 shows.
Okay.
Yeah. Which makes sense. If you're on the road, it makes sense.
We have the tour. He did this cool announcement, I guess, about a month or so ago of like all the people who are going to be on the tour.
Oh, the band? Like, oh, dude, that was so cool the way he did that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was expecting to see a good old De La on there.
I thought he was going to announce a classic.
That would be Michael Chavez. No, that's not going to happen.
He did announce, was it before that? Or I think it was before that where he announced the openers.
Yes.
Alexander 23, it seems like he is not. He did like 2 shows. So basically all the shows that got hit the hardest by the COVID outbreak in the band.
Uh-huh.
Alexander did like 1 set. Okay. Which is such a bummer for him, because yeah. I did go back and listen to his songs. He mostly has released acoustic stuff, but he's really good. But Yeba, dude, I cannot wait. Can't wait.
So are you a fan?
Yes, absolutely. It's because I think it's because of John Mayer, or it might have been Barack Obama or something. I think Barack posted her
song.
It was either
John Mayer or Barack Obama that got me into Yaba.
Yeah, it's one of those two people. Somebody was talking about Yaba's like Louis Bag. It was either Louis Bag or the other hit song. Louis Bag's the one that gets stuck in my head. So
I have not jumped in. I mean, dove in. I have not. One of their songs. Is it a band?
It's a female singer like Adele.
Okay, so she. I need to look her up because the problem with like openers is that like unless I know the band, I'm probably just not interested. Like I'm here to see John. You know, it's like But for you, you know her. So yes, that's really exciting for
her. Her debut album was last year. Really good album, really strong. I can't recommend it enough. It's got like a really cool, like, it's like if Adele did R&B, but it's not so R&B where it's her or something like, it's not like Alicia Keys or something like that R&B. So, I mean, there's an R&B element to it. It's like a slow lounge vibe. Her voice is just awesome. And yeah, again, Louis Bag is like, it's such a good song, dude. And Boomerang's the other one that's the hit.
All right.
Kind of the single, I guess.
Well, I do need to dive in a little bit and at least listen to... I mean, I imagine it'll be six or eight songs, maybe, that
she did a cover too. Like she recorded at, where's that place that Jimi Hendrix used to record all the time? The studio that I can't
Lady
remember the name of it.
Something?
Lady something. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. At that studio, Lady Luck Be a Lady Tonight. She just recorded there like a few live YouTube videos and an EP. And one of the songs she did was Age of Worry. And you got to hear the arrangement, dude. The arrangement is insane. She's doing like, I don't know if she composed it or what, but she's like, them, the band, are doing like chord changes that are... It's still the song, but the chord changes are like, okay, let's add them, let's make that chord minor instead, or like, it's just crazy. The arrangement is so not predictable, and it's so awesome, dude. And I think Questlove is on drums. I mean, she's kind of blowing up, so.
Lady Studios, is that
Electric Lady Studios, that's it, yes.
I knew that off the top of my head. I did not look it up.
You said just Lady. Now. Yes, just you now. Did. You knew it right off the top. I saw you.
You saw
thinking
me like...
about it, and you knew it. You knew it in your brain. It wasn't on your phone. She's fantastic and just a great vocalist. And I can't recommend enough the EP as well that just came out from like a month ago of all that stuff with like Questlove on drums and stuff. Yeah,
awesome.
Great
opener
choice.
I need to check it out. I need to check it out before the show.
Oh, you will check it out. you'll be forced to check it out the show anyway.
I'm definitely going to be there whenever I hear her live.
Right,
but. So let's talk set lists a little bit. We talked a little bit offline earlier, Jeff, about these last three shows, especially. Was it the three or the last two shows? I guess it would have been.
Yeah.
How there's probably a lot, you know. Okay, so we have, it starts February 17th, and let's just start there. Okay, so February 17th, Albany, New York, and I'm looking at the set list right now. It starts out with Last Train Home, Shot in the Dark. Okay. 1-2 punch right off of Sob Rock, probably the two most, I don't want to say best songs, but probably the two catchiest. I mean, it's the ones he made.
They're the mainstream
first.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. They're the main songs that's from there. Probably the most, you know, it's a great 1-2 punch to open with those two.
I agree.
And then
by the way, not just the set, but like the entire vibe of the show is like
80s,
dress your late 80s, 90s, early 90s best, basically.
So I am planning on dressing up for this show.
Really?
I've already planned. 3 years ago.
He's wearing jean jackets with the sleeves rolled up. And like,
let me
he's
tell
wearing,
you.
Like, you know.
3 years ago, I went as Marty McFly for Halloween.
Oh, that's perfect.
So I'm busting out my Marty McFly costume.
Yeah.
I'm busting. And I'm bringing my Walkman and my headphones. That's my awesome. old headphones.
I just remembered I have a tracksuit. I have a tracksuit. I'm going to have to wear that. Oh, that's perfect.
So
I'm somewhere.
I'm coming as Marty McFly. If you see, if you're going to the Houston show and you see a Hispanic guy walking around that looks like Marty McFly, that's me. Come say hi to me. But
I'm going with two friends. They're going to be like, God, we went with a freaking guy who dresses up. Because they're not guys that dress up at all.
Well, the thing about it is that at least with the McFly costume, it can kind of maybe just come off as, you're kind of dressing a little retro.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a tracksuit is definitely.
Yes. And I have light up glasses too.
Nice.
It's like one. I think it's my picture on Spotify. If you look me up, it's me with like glasses that like are like the ones that look like visors or whatever. I don't. It's really hard to describe the glasses.
But yeah, they have the little.
Yeah, but they're like vents or whatever. That's how I can describe it, I guess, visually. But yeah, they light up totally like neon colors and nice. Neon. And it would be ridiculous if I wore that. But it would make sense.
It would be fun. I mean, I feel like it was starting to pick up of like the people who are starting to dress up. I mean, I think you had the girl who dressed up and got kind of called out from the stage. Mm-hmm. Because she was dressed as, you know, super.
She had a cassette player and stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm bringing my Walkman. 100%. I'm going to bring my Walkman so I can be like, hey, look, John, come on my podcast.
So, how many times I've spammed his live videos of just going, hey, man, did you know you have there's a podcast about you?
Hey man, there's a podcast,
and he doesn't give me anything.
Yeah,
he
probably is just like whatever. Although is he going to be on some podcast coming up? I feel like
I don't know.
There's some podcast coming up that is either about him or he's going to be on. But anyway, okay. So you got Last Train Home, you got Shot in the Dark. Next, we got I Don't Trust Myself. All right, good continuum track. Then you get Who Says. Okay, we're getting into some battle studies. You got Love on the Weekend, which to me feels Sob Rock.
It does a little bit.
Even though it's not really Sob Rock, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a single, but it kind of
should have held off on that song for Sob Rock. Maybe he would have found a more interesting synthy sound for it.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have fit there. Not that I hate the song. I just don't. It wouldn't have been my first single choice off that album, right. That's for sure.
Which was Search for Everything, right? Love on the Weekend, Search for Everything. You've got Moving On and Getting Over, another Search for Everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's keep going. Moving On and Getting Over. Search for Everything. Shouldn't Matter, But It Does. Sob Rock. Rosie. Search for Everything. I guess I just feel like Sob Rock. Helpless. Search for Everything. So
he's got three albums that he is just a huge fan of, apparently.
So you got your 12 songs in.
Yeah.
And only two of them are, or well, I guess three of them are not from Sob Rock or the Search for Everything. I get it. Right. This is the Sob Rock tour. You got to play Sob Rock songs. This isn't just like a random tour that he's doing. This is to promote the album. So I get it. You got In the Blood. You got Helpless. Stop This Train. Great. In the Blood. Then you got Carry Me Away. Then you got The Beautiful Ones. Kind of little deal, little ditty with David Ryan Harris.
Yeah, it's like a little interlude segue. Yeah.
Into Slow David Dancing. Ryan does. Mm-hmm. Slow Dancing. Then you have Your Body is a Wonderland, which.
Full band, by the way.
Which, by the way, has been played at every show so far. All five, has been played at.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been played at every single Sob Rock tour show, which is very interesting. Then you got Wild Blue, which I can't wait to hear that one. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All I Want is to Be With You, which, you know, if you remember my Sob Rock episode, I was just like, yeah, that's okay. Like, I was just okay on that one. Then you got Waiting on the World to Change and Gravity. Encore, Born and Raised, love it. Love that you're getting Born and Raised at an encore, and then New Light.
New Light is a going to be a closer for a long time, it feels like.
It's such
a good closer.
It just makes sense. It makes sense. Very Sob Rock heavy because this is Sob Rock Tour. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Sob Rock songs. Which
that's crazy.
Goes but to show
three of those are a cheat, right? Three are a cheat because, you know, he released them like 16 years ago.
He released them between Heavier Things and Continuum and decided to put them on Sob Rock. But
he put Tracing on Sob Rock.
That's right. You might as well have. I would have taken Tracing over New Light on Sob Rock. But anyway, yes, very Sob Rock heavy. Then it's pretty much five Continuum tracks, five Search for Everything tracks. And then you got one Born and Raised track, you got one Room for Squares track, and you got one Battle Studies track.
Yeah. He loves three albums right now. And I feel like those albums did define his career to an extent.
Yep.
Maybe not Sob Rock as much. Time will tell on that one. But since he's currently touring Sob Rock, it makes sense that he's going to borrow the most material from that for his set list. But Continuum and Search for Everything, I feel like Continuum obviously like helped kind of define his sound and his career. And Search for Everything, I feel like, helped kind of redefine and refine his sound. Find with a D, not refine. Like, he kind of just, I don't know, he was just on a different level for that album. And that's why when people downplay how good that album is, I'm like, well, hold on a sec.
Yeah. Look at it objectively, because... And that's really what you got to do. If you look at it objectively, yeah, it's good. I mean, it's probably, yeah, if you were
it's
to say
got
like
such a variety of sounds, man. It's,
that's what I was going to say. If you look objectively, yeah, and said, okay, what are the best John Mayer albums? Not what are my favorites, but what are the best ones? It's probably Continuum, The Search for Everything, and Born and Raised. Those are probably the three best John Mayer songs. If you just kind of took an objective look, like that's probably the most, if people listen to those, they would probably like those the most, because mm-hmm, they're songs that are kind of palatable, kind of broad as far as like, you know, where you can listen to them. Born and Raised, not as much, but those two for sure. You know, it's funny you mentioned if there's a tour, you know, in 3 years or something, and let's say he does or does not put a new album out by then, but let's say in 2 years he goes on another tour, how many of these Sob Rock songs are going to be on the set list again?
Yeah,
on a tour that's not promoting Sob Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I say 2 or 3 of these probably last, and that's not counting New Light, because I feel like New Light is always going to be on there.
Yeah, that those are like Sob Rock to that's such a cheat. counting New Light. Yeah, I feel like he did. So he didn't play When the Right One Comes at this show. Till the Right One Comes, right?
Right.
So, or is it When the Right One? I don't even remember what the name of the freaking song is. It's been so long.
Till the Right One Comes.
That one I feel like can stand the test of time, because Sob Rock otherwise is a little gimmicky and some of the sounds won't fit on every tour. But Till the Right One Comes doesn't have that overpowering synth or whatever. It's just more of like it feels like a classic rock's Wild Blue. That's going to last, you know?
That was one of the ones. I feel like Last Train Home, Shot in the Dark, and Wild Blue will be staples, at least in a rotating type slot. That, you know, similar to like a Belief or I Don't Trust Myself, where he may play either one of those, rotating them kind of throughout a tour in 2 or 3 years or something like that. But that's looking way down the road.
I can see All I Want Is to Be With You to be one of those songs that he's going to like after this tour, like circulate like once every 5 or 6 nights.
Yeah.
On the next like tour 3 years from now.
It'll be a deep cut and it'll be a treat to hear. And that's the great thing about this, right? Is that like you have to really live in the moment, because so many of these songs in 5 years, in 10 years, you're going to be like, I saw Shouldn't Matter, But It Does. I saw him perform that, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And it's like, and he doesn't perform that anymore. It's like the songs on Heavier Things, like, you know, it's like the songs that New Deep, you know, he performed it the whole tour. And then guess what? Never again. So a lot of these, it's like you really got to take it in and just know that, hey man, these are treats now. And it's
yeah, I got to see Only Heart live, and
me too.
I mean, even on the Heavier Things tour, he played that like once every 3 or 4 nights. Like, he didn't play it every night,
right?
But he did bust it out because he wanted to play that Flying V guitar. But never again, never again, man.
Yeah. So you know, part of me is like, oh man, it's so Sob Rock heavy. But the other part is really need to cherish this at the same time, because a lot of these songs will not, they cannot last. It's just, it's not feasible for them to continue on tour set list after this tour. After
it's
the
like
tour.
I don't think I ever saw Dreaming With a Broken Heart live, because I started going to his shows again around the Search for Everything time, and I guess he already decided he was done with that song.
Yeah,
and I freaking love that song.
Yeah,
I love it. I would love to hear that song live. So I mean, that's just an example of like, I'm sure during the Continuum tour he was just playing that song nonstop.
Yeah, and it was even kind of a minor single, right? Like I mean,
it was on like Grey's Anatomy or one of those dumb shows I don't watch,
Private Practice or something like that, one of those two. Okay, so obviously we know super Sob Rock heavy, but it's also Search for Everything heavy, which makes sense again, because that's the you know, the second oldest, or the second most recent is what I mean to say.
And so, I think he still loves playing. This is just again, this is all speculative.
Right.
Outsider perspective. But it feels like he still has fun playing those songs, because even though he played it like every night on a tour for Search for Everything and then the tour and then the tour after that, it's still... an element of it is still like he's still having fun discovering the song live.
Right.
For some of those songs. Whereas, you know, Room for Squares, you don't even really play anything on that anymore because he's played those to death by now.
Well, yeah. And I mean, even before Room for Squares came out, he's playing those songs. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. So we move on the next night. Philadelphia, PA opens with Last Train Home Again, which I feel like that's going to be the opener. Probably. Mm-hmm. We have some anomalies coming up a little bit later, but I feel like every show is probably going to open with Last Train Home. Like, that's going to be it for the most part. Then you got Belief. Okay, so not Shot in the Dark this time. No 1-2 punch of Sob Rock, but you got Last Train Home into... Then you got Belief, which is cool to hear. Then you got Queen of California, which is... I feel like that's a treat. Like, oh, okay. I mean, even though that's a...
Yeah.
That's a pretty popular Born and Raised song. I mean...
You're right, it's a single. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a treat to hear that. Then you got Love on the Weekend that comes up. Then, okay, now we're back to Shot in the Dark. Then you got Waiting on the Day.
Oh, man, I love it.
Which to me is like, oh, whoa, that's a wild card.
That came out of nowhere, yeah.
So the first set, fairly standard. Like, not a lot of surprises in the first set. The first opening set of Albany set. Not a lot of surprises. But here you already have kind of two. One, okay, Queen California. But Waiting on the Day feels like, oh, that's a...
I've been waiting on the day for Waiting on the Day to
be played. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, he may play that one more time this tour or something, or two, you know, two. Then you got Wild Blue, which I think is going to be a staple for this tour. We're going to hear it every night. Who Says, I think you're going to hear probably most nights. That if he plays a Battle Studies song, it's going to be that song for the most part. Still Feel Like Your Man. All right, take it. Then you got Wonderland Again, which... I feel like, I guess he's back on that song, like back loving that song. I guess he came back around
maybe
to
he's
it.
Just like, I haven't played this in full band in so long that it like feels good to play it with a full band.
Yeah.
Band. I don't know. I get it. Because, you know, you take a break from a song and then you want to revisit it and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. It did feel good to play it with a band. Yeah.
Then you got Changing, which I like. You know, that I feel like that's another rotating
kind of
Search for Everything.
I think he loves that one, especially because of the solo at the end. He always tears it up at the solo.
Then you got I Don't Trust Myself, I think, if I'm not
yep.
wrong there.
That's what I
have. So that's two times in a row, right? Two shows in a row. I thought that was interesting. I wouldn't peg that for a two in a row continuum track, but
right.
He played it.
Then I'd you got Belief for one of those over Trust Myself.
Yeah, for sure. Then you got Edge of Desire, which wasn't played the first show, which is a fan favorite, you know, between that and Slow Dancing. It's almost like you almost kind of have to pick one of those two. It almost feels like, but he does play Slow Dancing as well. This set, he's going to play Slow Dancing every show.
Slow Dancing, Gravity.
Yeah. New Light. He's going to play every show from now
new
on.
New Light. Yeah.
Edge of Desire will be kind of a, I think, you might get it. You might not. It's just, you know, it might be every other type, you know, 50% chance. You got Carry Me Away. You got The Beautiful Ones Again. Slow Dancing. Shouldn't Matter, But It Does. New Light. Waiting on the World to Change to close out the main set. I feel like Waiting on the World to Change is going to be pretty standard as well. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a lot of deviations on that song.
Yeah.
Like, there's not like a sudden 16-minute jam from Waiting on the World to Change. Tend to keep it.
And then in the encore,
tight.
You got another crazy song, Dear Marie. You got two Paradise Valley songs this night. Waiting on the Day and Dear Marie. That's pretty interesting. One Born and Raised song, but you got two Paradise Valley songs, which, you know, I mean, in a sense, you might be could combine those two. Obviously, Born and Raised is much better than Paradise Valley, we feel like. But you got Dear Marie, which I thought, man, that's cool. That's another treat to me. And then Gravity.
I've seen him play Dear Marie a lot, though.
Really?
So I don't know. That doesn't really
maybe I just feel like it is. I don't know. He did play it on that acoustic set thing he did for Martin Guitar last year. Remember?
Yeah.
We talked about that. He did play Dear Marie there. So I don't know. Maybe it's not off. I feel like it is kind of dark horse, but maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just reading into that. Then you have Gravity.
What a shocker.
Ending with Gravity. Then we go to the 20th, which is at Madison Square Garden, night one.
Yeah.
So we got two nights happening here. First night, Last Train Home, Shot in the Dark, 1-2 punch again. Right there, right out the gate. Into Belief. Then you got Something Like Olivia. All right, I'll take it. You know,
I don't know that I've seen him play that live yet. I love that song.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's a fun song.
I've seen other people cover that song more than I've seen him play that live.
That's awesome.
And when they cover it, I'm like, oh man, you're really good at that cover. That's really good. I've only heard it from like talented people, which is a very difficult acoustic cover.
Well, then you got I Guess I Just Feel Like, Who Says, Rosie, shouldn't matter, but it does. Helpless, you know, we're staying pretty standard. Wonderland, I don't trust myself again. Three in a row. Yeah. Wild Blue, you got Edge of Desire, and then we have the tour debut of Till the Right One Comes.
Yeah.
So this is the first time he plays that on this tour, the third night. The Beautiful Ones again, Slow Dancing, New Light, Waiting on the World to Change. All I Wanted Is Be With You, and then only one song for encore, which is Gravity.
Felt like a safe set a little bit.
Pretty safe. Something Like Olivia is the only one that's fairly, I mean,
yeah.
Even, but here's the thing. There's two nights, right? So first night maybe is going to be, okay, you know, we're going to play it pretty safe, pretty standard set here. And maybe the plan for the second night was to go a little off.
That would have not surprised me if he was eventually going to go that route.
Right. But we never find out what the original plan was for night two, because right after this, right, we learn the drummer has COVID.
Their drummer, who is a legendary drummer, apparently. You think he played with the Heartbreakers, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers?
Oh.
I think that's who the drummer is.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. When he said it was a legend, it was like, oh, holy crap, you got a for real legend. All right.
Well, he gets.
I'll have to Google him again.
But. Yeah. He gets COVID, and then we have a change up, right? Last minute changes here. He does a bunch of acoustic stuff that's with the band, but like just with percussion and stuff like that, right?
Yeah,
which is good. He has a percussionist, so you can still kind of have some of that, you know, without drums. But he plays a bunch of songs, and then he plays a bunch of solo acoustic stuff. And then he comes back with Questlove to play some full band stuff to wrap up the night. So let's go down the set list and real quick just talk about these. First song.
I wanted to correct. It's not really much of a correction. So the drummer is a member. He was known as a member of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers from 94 to 2017. Is 2017 when Tom Petty passed?
Yes.
Okay. So he was a member of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Okay. Awesome.
Wow. For a long time. So he's a legend.
So that's awesome. Anyway, sorry, that's go ahead. Great. Yes, yeah, I mean, list. That's a for legit drummer. I mean, and he's always, just, John's always get, I mean, working with people like Don Was, like Steve Jordan, all these people who are like known in the music industry as, man, these are the hard hitters. Like, these are the ones that, you know, if you could get a chance to work with, like bucket list people to work with. And he's just like, oh, yeah. And he just hires them and works with them.
yeah.
Okay, so acoustic with band. Opening with Neon, acoustic with band. Have you heard any audio or seen any video of this yet?
I haven't either.
I haven't looked at
it. I know. I'm sure it's out there. Yeah.
I'm interested on what that's like and what the Neon acoustic with band is like. Or if it really was just kind of more him by himself. But I'd be interested to see.
I have a feeling some of these are him by himself and it's just not noted.
So then you got Last Train Home, Shot in the Dark, Belief, we're back to standard. In the Blood hasn't been played. Wait, did he play In the Blood?
On the first night,
he did. Yeah, he played In the Blood. You got If I Ever Get Around to Living. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's another, you know, wild card song. You got New Light, Wild Blue. Okay. Wonderland. All right. And then we move into crazy territory in my mind. In Your Atmosphere, which feels, is this as rare as I feel like it is?
No. Because he used to have an acoustic set list. He used to have an acoustic set in the middle of his shows, the last two tours. And he played
this one quite a bit, didn't he?
Yeah. So I'm like looking at... It would be like every third night or so.
Okay. So yeah. So here we go. I'm looking at setlist.fm, In Your Atmosphere, performed by John Mayer. It's like, since 2002, it's like two times. 2010, he played it 7 times. That was the most he's ever played it 1 year.
Huh.
Didn't play it again until 2013. 4 times. 2014, played it once. And then 2017, 21 times. 2019, 22 times. So these are the last two
tours. He dusted it off.
You're talking about, yeah. So I guess maybe I feel like it was before the 2017 tour, it was pretty, oh man, this is a treat. Now, not so much. Now it's like, oh yeah. I mean, to me, it is a treat to hear still, but.
Yeah. Oh no, I love that song.
But you got a good chance of hearing it. Mm-hmm. Well, you had a good chance of hearing it in the last two tours. We don't know if that's going to be the case moving forward.
Yeah, it seems like acoustic is going to be out of the picture for this tour regularly.
Right. So then Then we go into Something's Missing, which...
I think this was him just trying to remember the song. Because I think somebody asked him about it.
Is it like a snippet or something? Like it's just a small
part? Yeah, it's like him trying to remember how to play the song. Okay. You know how I used to do that sometimes? Yeah. He'd be like...
Oh, what song do you want to hear? Victoria? Okay, yeah. I don't remember the words.
And Something's Missing is in the same tuning, so...
There you go.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Let's try it.
Yeah, he would have been able to do that. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. I wouldn't have put that together until you just mentioned it. That's right. They are in the right tuning. Open E, right?
Yeah. Yeah, open E. Yeah.
Then he moves to Daughters, which we haven't heard yet.
Yeah, and I don't think this one will get played much, if ever, during the tour.
Then you got Free Fallin', which was a staple.
Probably not going to get played.
It was a staple the last two tours during that acoustic time, but you're probably right. Probably not going to get played again. I feel like he's filling time with stuff he can do that he knows will go over well and he can do on his own. Then you got Carry Me Away, Who Says, Stop This Train, and then Till the Right One Comes. And I guess there's some, I'm looking here on setlist.fm. It's got some like outro of Homeward Bound by Simon Garfunkel for Stop This Train.
Yeah.
And then snippet of You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon. So I guess he was on a Paul Simon thing at that point.
Yeah. This is a Paul Simon part of the show.
Yeah. This is the Paul Simon part of the show. Then we got Electric Full Band. So he gets his electric back out. Vultures.
Yeah, this is where Questlove comes out.
So you got Vultures, which he plays again the night after, but I feel like Vultures is not going to be played.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You just don't, I mean, we don't have enough of the first sets to really get a glimpse because he was throwing things in like something like Olivia and Queen of California, but his Continuum songs didn't really change that much. You got Don't Trust Myself, Belief, Stop This Train, Slow Dancing, Waiting on the World to Change, Gravity. I feel like Vultures is like, we can't add another. If we're gonna add, can't add another Continuum song. Those are the one. Those are the other ones
that
want it.
I think they gave Questlove, other than Clarity, which he recorded with John, in the studio. I think they gave him some easy songs.
Yep.
Which is smart. That's smart.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, moving right into that, 19. He knows Clarity. Why don't we play it?
Yeah.
And man, what a treat, man. This is a treat. To get it full band, not acoustic, because he did play it a few times, but he played it acoustic, right? Did he play it acoustic?
Mm-hmm. Well, no. Are you talking about the acoustic part of his set? No.
Yeah. No, he played it full band. Okay.
He always played it full band.
But he played it 16 times in 2019. You know how many times he played it since 2010 to 2019? Mm. He's played it four times.
Oh, my God. The hate, bro?
And
Come on, John.
Did it. In 2017, he played it four times in 2017.
Yeah, he revived that song too, along with Indian Atmosphere. Yeah,
from 2010 to 2017, he played that zero times, and then 2019 he played it 16 times. So, still not super common, but you know, probably
the fact that he did it with Questlove, though, man,
that's cool.
That's so
special. You're never going to see that again. I mean, literally, you're never going to see that again. So that's super awesome. One of my favorite songs. I would love to see that song, but. The fact that you see it with Questlove is like, man, that's super cool. What a good, unique set to be a part of that. Maybe you were just kind of a little scared, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, are we going to get like a weird thing or something that's like half the amount of songs because the drummer's got, right? Like you might go into this thinking like, oh my gosh, this is going to suck. Like, we're just going to get like all the staples and that's it, which great. Right. I mean, the staples.
But
are great,
all I heard about this from people that were there is that this was just a really special show.
Yeah.
Like, just meant a lot to the fans or at least the ones that talked about it on Reddit. They were just blown away by this entire set list.
So then you got something like Olivia, full band, The Beautiful Ones. Is this the whole song?
No. This is just
a snippet.
It's
just a snippet. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you got Slow Dancing and then the encore is Gravity. So... stuff he could play and stuff he knew really is kind of...
And stuff that a seasoned drummer that can fill in for somebody on short notice can easily play as a rhythm section, you know, without having to be like, wait, what? Where's the breakdown here? There's like complicated breakdown on any of these songs. So it makes total sense that he chose these for Questlove's part.
Set. Cool set to be a part of. Cool show to be at. Who knows what Madison Square Garden Night 2 originally looked like. But I feel like if you had tickets to both of these, that's a great show. You also have some overlap, quite a bit of overlap, but almost half, maybe 40% overlap of songs. If someone who went to both nights would have heard, you know, a couple repeats I don't know what that looks like, but if the drummer doesn't have COVID, if the drummer mm-hmm. doesn't have COVID, is this a totally different set? Is this something where he plays a similar set? Like, it's like, oh no, this is just two nights and there's no yeah. difference in it. And we're going to play, we're going to treat it as if we're going to the next city. Right. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what night two at cities where he does two nights, what that looks like moving forward, because we don't really have a template for it yet. What do you think?
Yeah, I would hope that he would have changed it up, but I don't know. I just have a gut feeling he was going to insert like maybe two or three cool, like not B-side, but deep cut tracks.
Yeah.
That would have been like, oh wow, when was the last time he played this live? And that's it. Otherwise, it would just been like the same like Sob Rock songs, the same Continuum / Search for Everything songs.
Yeah, because you have probably, it's probably half and half. I don't know what the real numbers yeah. are, but probably half the people are going to both. Like on the night two, it's probably half the people were there the night before and half of them have not been, right? So this is mm-hmm. their first show. So you always got to play that. Like, how am I going to balance this with people who came last night to still make it feel like it's something special? But at the same time, there's people here tonight who this is their first show and maybe this is their very first show, right? That's the other thing I always think about with bands is like, this is always somebody's first show. And there's so many people who this is their first John Mayer concert. So we get like, oh my gosh, he's playing Gravity again. Well, this is a lot of people's first time to ever hear Gravity live.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to take that into account, I think, when you're hearing show, going to concerts.
Yeah, there's a whole generation of folks that haven't even gone to a John Mayer concert.
That's so right.
Remember that. Yeah.
All right. Next night. So drummer's out again, but they have a little bit more time to prep about this. So they've probably been thinking about what are we going to do two nights later, Washington, D.C., 2:23. And we have J.J. Johnson flying in maybe from Austin, Texas, coming in to play.
He's my favorite touring drummer that John's ever had.
Is there
I know that people are partial to Aaron Sterling and stuff, and he's good, but I like my drummers a little bit more adventurous, and I like JJ's unique playing style.
Yeah. Part of it is nostalgia for me. That was the first drummer I saw him with, you know, a couple times before Steve Jordan started playing with him. So JJ Johnson has a special place in my heart. Plus, he's a Texan, right? He's from Austin, so that's super cool. We got kind of a Texas boy there. He steps in, starts out with... We got Belief. So this is the first time we don't open with, we don't have Last Train Home like in the first few songs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Neon opened the night before, but the first four songs, no Sob Rock songs. You got Belief, I Don't Trust Myself, Who Says, and Stop This Train with the Simon and Garfunkel.
Playing all the songs JJ has played before.
That's right. All the songs he knows. He plays with them. And then you have... It says full band with J.J. Johnson. And then on setlist.fm, it has it changed acoustic with the band. So I'm assuming J.J. steps off and we're back mm-hmm. with John acoustic, the rest of the band with the percussionist.
Yeah.
So now we're back to Last Train Home, Shot in the Dark, New Light. And then we get Age of Worry. Pretty cool.
I want to know how many times he's played that live because I feel like that's a... Well, that's a super rare one, and I love that song.
Setlist.fm, he has played this song 88 times, but 60 of those were in 2013.
Of course, when that song came out, yes, and he was touring Born and Raised and Paradise Valley. Yes.
So that's whenever the bulk of them happened. The last tour, 2019, he played it 22 times. So not super...
That's a lot. That's like that's as every, much as every in your third. Atmosphere.
That's like every third. Yeah, every third or fourth stop. He played that.
I guess I'm just upset I haven't heard it yet. In person. I just love that song so much.
Then you got Wild Blue, Till the Right One Comes, and Your Body is a Wonderland, acoustic with band. Pretty
cool.
Pretty.
I was going to say about Age of Worry, too. I wonder if when Yeba comes on tour, he's going to let her play it.
Oh, that would be cool.
That'd be so awesome, dude. I can't wait for you to hear that arrangement. That arrangement is just really special.
That, you know, I wouldn't put it past him to do that, actually.
Yeah.
So then you get Solo Acoustic, Neon, Free Fallen, and Your Atmosphere.
The old Old Faithful, I guess. Whatever you call them.
Yeah, old, I mean, that's those three songs. Those three songs in a row, man.
Yeah.
That's killer.
Perfect.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're never going to get Walt Grace is not getting played this tour.
No.
I can tell you that.
Then JJ.
He probably left that tin guitar at home or whatever that guitar is.
So then JJ Johnson comes back out. And then you get a Room for Squares 1-2 punch of No Such Thing in White Georgia, which is like, whoa, that's super cool.
Nostalgia. Oh, yeah. My God, dude. I'm back in high school again. Holy crap.
And then, but, you know, obviously it makes sense with J.J. Johnson, right? He knows those songs. Yeah. Then into Vultures, which he played the night before. J.J. Johnson knows Vultures. Beautiful Ones, Snippet again, and then Slow Dancing. Pretty standard there. Encore, Gravity with J.J. Johnson. All of these. Did J.J. Johnson tour on Continuum?
Yes.
He did.
And Battle Studies, I think.
Okay, okay. So that wasn't Steve Jordan. He didn't tour with them on Continuum.
They did like the trio shows together, but
and he just played on Continuum. Yeah, remember? But...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember the he played and co-produced that album,
right?
But remember on the LA, whatever the hell, Where the Light Is.
Yeah,
Jordan played the trio set, but then JJ played the full band.
Oh, so, I don't remember that. Okay, okay, yeah.
All right, because JJ was the touring drummer, basically. Okay. Yeah, so he came in at Heavier Things and left around Battle Studies.
Okay.
Kind of jump ship.
All right. As a lot of people did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Steve Jordan did for a bit too, according to John.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You got these cool two kind of sets. And I was telling you, Jeff, you know, after the Madison Square Garden night two, my wife was like, dude, let's just buy tickets to Washington. Like, let's go. Like, it's something crazy is going to happen. Like, it's going to be something interesting because the drummer's not going to be back yet. And we weren't serious, but. You know, we were like, oh, man, how cool would that be? And if we had done that, I mean, what a treat it would have been to see all those.
I know.
JJ Johnson.
If we had known, bro, I would have made that drive.
Yeah. After this.
If he ever announces in advance, De La is going to be playing a show with me, and it's enough in advance where I can plan out a trip, I'm totally going to be there, dude. There's no way I'd miss that.
And that's it. That's all we have for Sob Rock. These last
for the tour
two,
for now,
yeah,
for now.
These last two shows have been, I feel like half probably expected, more than half probably what was expected, and then another part is just stuff that they are winging that they can they can pull off. So I don't think we're gonna get like Something's Missing or even any kind of acoustic set, just like you mentioned, that wasn't present in the first three shows,
right?
And it's probably not going to be present in the rest of the tour. We're going to get back to something similar for the first three shows, which not bad. I mean, you have a few, you know, you have one or two kind of treats for fans.
I think the priority for him is like, we're finally playing these shows from the album or these songs from the album for the first time at live shows.
Yeah.
So it's going to be new to a lot of people, including us.
Right.
With the exception of New Light, and I guess I just feel like Carry Me Away because they shouldn't have been album on the album. But I do love those songs. I love that they kind of complete the album in a way, in their own way, but it's still like, come on, bro.
I know. New Light's like 5 years old at this point.
I know. That was so insane to me. And I actually kind of am taking that. I'm actually working on an album, a full length, currently. And I'm kind of taking that strategy a little bit. Like, oh, you can just take an old song and put it on an album. So the single I released that I just released in February is going to be on the album. And that album's probably not going to be done until like 2024. I don't know. Because it's just me. Yeah. I'm funding it. So it's probably not going to be ready for a long time.
Yeah. Well, the last time he did it was like Inside Wants Out to Room for Squares. He's like, yes, oh, I got these songs. I'll put them on my new, on my Room for Squares album. But we still feel the same way. So as we did.
That's so funny that that hasn't changed. Yeah.
That has not changed. So I'm excited. I'm going to the Houston show. I'm actually playing around with going to night two in Austin. Haven't decided that yet. That might be a last minute decision for me and my wife. We were looking at tickets. There's some nosebleeds that are available for fairly cheap. And it's just, you know, it's a couple hour drive from us. So that may be something we do, but at least we'll be at the Houston show. If you're going to the Houston show, shoot me a message. And I'd love to meet up. If I don't know if Jeff, if you're the same way at the Dallas show, I don't want to say that for you. You may be like, no, I don't want to see anyone.
Yeah, I actually don't even want to go to the show. No, I'm fine.
Look for the guy in the tracksuit. Please,
message me. I don't care. That's fine. Message us on our socials.
Yeah, if you're going, hit us up and let us know, and we would love to say hi. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, about this tour, we didn't really get a chance. Let's do it right now. Merch. Let's talk about merch a little bit. Have you seen the merch?
I have because you showed it to me.
Oh, okay.
I don't really pay attention to that stuff because all of it's generally overpriced. So I don't.
Someone posted.
I tend to not even look at it because I don't want to be tempted.
I know, man. I'm going to have to buy a shirt. I really.
Yeah, one of those looks. And again, this is why I don't like looking at merch, because now I'm like looking at it and I'm like,
oh, man.
Oh, the big shirt one is great. Yeah.
Don't you like that? That the sign says big shirt is oversized.
That's funny. I didn't even. Oh, I didn't look at that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I mean, $45 shirts, $50 shirts. Some of them are. One of them is $100.
You got $100 hoodie.
It's insane. And I realize. I you have to kind of contextualize this. Merch and touring is how musicians make their money.
Yep.
So this is you're kind of paying the whole band when you buy merch.
That's true, because John Mayer does not need the money at this point. But you still got to pay for the tour. You got to pay for the musicians.
Because I don't know how it works when you're assigned established talent, but I'm sure that it works something like, here's your advance to go tour and rent out your whatever you need.
Yep.
So you can pay your band to in advance, but then this is their chance to earn it back plus whatever is extra.
Well, and a couple other things I've learned, right? Number one, you have to pay for the crew too. Right, the crew that's there setting up and lighting and crew, sound and point. All of them, they get paid.
I mean, there's an entire like square cut off in the arena where the crew is, and that's like a lot of freaking people, man.
The other thing is most venues take a cut of merch. Did you know this? Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I learned this on another podcast, is that most venues will take a cut. So they say like our merch cut is 20% or is...
That is insanity.
Yeah, so...
Because every venue that I played at, and I've never played an arena, obviously, so it could be different because it's an arena.
Uh-huh.
But every venue I played at has just been like, no, merch is yours, dude. That's, you sell merch, you pocket all that.
Yeah.
That's yours. 100% of merch is yours.
A lot. Well,
and that's the only way I thought that they function that. That's
a lot. No, a lot of venues will say, like, we get a merch cut for whatever you sell.
That's really disappointing. Because they have nothing to do with merch.
Nothing, man. And they're making money off the $15 beers.
The ticket
and like,
sales, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Ticket sales, concessions,
They are pricey. I mean, you're talking $45, $50. Like that, to me, I'm like, I remember buying tour shirts for like $20, $25.
I remember that. And even then, it was like,
I was like, ooh. Yeah, it was a little expensive. But I do like a lot of these. They're all obviously very retro looking, you know.
They are.
I do like
very
the...
late 80s, early 90s vibes, yeah.
I do want... My favorite one, I think, is the one that says KSBRK 202.2 FM Sub Rock, you know, and it looks like an old... 80s like style radio station call sign, but it's, you know, K Sob Rock. That would probably be the one that I buy. I tend to be the type of person that buys a shirt that isn't like John Mayer Sob Rock tour, you know, and it's a picture of him, like
the same way. I don't like having names on things that I buy.
Like it just says John Mayer, it's like a picture of the album. I could go, I mean, if someone were to give me that, I'd take it for sure, but I'm not going to buy that. The ones I like are the ones that are kind of more a little bit subtle, that like you don't really know
that,
off the
bat. I prefer design too. Yeah.
Even the rock out.
That's why
out.
Sometimes I'm actually I'm going to out myself as a pro wrestling fan, whatever. but some of their shirts some of them are terrible now, but some of their shirts are like really funny and they have puns and stuff and like you don't know that it's a wrestling shirt. And some of them have really good designs. So I'm like, okay, I'll buy some of those because people won't know. I love stuff like that where it's it's a design first. And then like, if you look on the back, maybe you see a website.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, most of these are pretty standard tour shirts. And then you have like this, you know, even the, I got a big shirt is kind of funny. Like that's kind of a funny thing.
I love that one.
The rock out shirt is good. And then the K-Sob Rock shirt. I feel like those are the strongest ones. The ones that just have like the tour dates on the back and you know, a picture of him basically from the album kind of on the front, or him performing. I could go back and forth on either on those, but I do like some of this. I will probably buy a shirt. I'll probably buy a shirt. You know what I wish they had were posters. I'd buy a poster.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No posters, no pics, no wristbands or bandanas. They had some hats.
Saw the hats. Yeah.
I love a good, like, oh yeah, I'll spend $10 on that bandana, or, you know, $30. Yeah. I'd spend $30 or $40 just on a poster.
Something on a friggin' bargain.
Yeah. So
it feels like a bargain anyway.
Yeah. Because then you have people who can drop a 20 on something, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe it's a little, maybe even it's a, like a mini poster, or just a, I don't know, a little lithograph type thing, whatever they are. There's just not a lot. It's all shirts and then one hat, a couple hats. Nothing too exciting, but I'll probably buy that K Sob Rock shirt. I really like that shirt. So you know what we didn't do, Jeff, that I forgot? Our emails. We didn't get to our emails. Why don't we put those for next time?
We'll save them.
Yeah, we'll save them. We do have a lot of emails, I do want to get to them, and we'll probably spread them out.
We might just do a mailbag episode. Let's just do a mailbag episode. You know what? Why not?
Let's just do a mailbag. Maybe the next one we'll do is mailbag. But is there anything else, Sob Rock Tour, that we need to touch right now?
That's everything. And then, you know, the only thing we haven't really specified is the touring members of the band.
Yeah.
Other than the drummer. But I think the drummer was the only one that I was like, who's that? You know, like, I didn't know. The rest of them are regular John collaborators. Right. So, you know, Isaiah Sharkey's still there, who's freaking great. Right. He's like the future guitar playing right there, man. DRH is there, of course. He had to actually cancel some of his own shows
to
postpone some of John's shows.
I saw that.
Reschedule those. So, yeah. So, it's just a lot of the same people. Like, Tiffany something is on vocals and the harmonies and stuff. And
some of them were...
The famous guy who did the keyboard for Last Train Home and stuff.
Yeah.
He did, like, didn't you say he found out that he worked with Michael Jackson and stuff like that?
Yeah, like Toto, I think, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so he's on tour. So that's awesome.
And then the percussionist. So I think there's the percussionist and the keyboard player
were from
the Sob Rock sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like, the video. I remember, like, you saw them kind of in the videos. And played with him, like, on the late show performances and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that's all we have right now for Sob Rock Tour stuff. I do want to ask you, I do want to wrap up with two things. Number one, talk about kind of the future of what kind of episodes we're going to be doing. And I will, and we'll talk about that in just a second, what you listeners can expect. I'll tease that just right now. But how has Sob Rock been sitting with you since the summer, Jeff? You know, it's been 6-8 months since Sob Rock came out. How do you feel about it? Has your opinion changed?
So there's something that I like to do at the beginning of a new year, is I like to go back and revisit some of my favorite things from the year before.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of be like, oh yeah, that was great. Even though it's, like, not that far away, reminiscing about that time was just, I don't know, something about appreciating the art that came before. Sob Rock's one of those things I listen to. And, you know, I still like it, but it's not, like, in my top whatever ranking of albums of his. It's neck and neck with Battle Studies for me. Like, I really like some of the songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
Wild Blue is a all-timer contender for me. I just love that song so much. And even John does to this day. Like, he did that interview with Andy Cohen, and he was like, Wild Blue is the one that resonates with me the most right now. And I'm like, I get it. I freaking get it, man. Yeah. Those lyrics are just... to die for, like, living in the loneliness. He quoted that lyric specifically. Yeah, so I don't know. It's not his strongest, but it's still great because it's John. It's still great, you know. Like, it's not like I hate it or anything. It's just not. I expected to be revisiting whatever came after Search for Everything way more because Search for Everything was on rotation for months for me.
Right.
And Sob Rock was, like, the first 2 weeks I couldn't stop listening to it. It still ended up in my most played list at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But because of that, because I listened to it non-freaking stop for 2 weeks. And then after that, I was just kind of like, all right, what else is going on? Like,
yeah,
just didn't hit me the same as I expected it to.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. And that may be a little bit of why I just kind of, like, put off the podcast a little bit. And not, like, intentionally, but it just, like, I was like, okay, yeah, Sob Rock was good. We did our episode.
Like, subconsciously, you're like,
yeah.
Fulfilled by covering the album.
Yeah.
And that's it. Maybe not presently you're thinking it, but, right. like,
thinking about it now, yeah, I know, like, looking back, yeah, it's like, yeah, that might, you know, and my music stuff switched gears a little bit anyway, but
right,
that had,
yeah, mine did too. I've been, the music I've been listening to outside of John has been stuff that, like, I'm trying to find inspiration, man, because I'm supremely bored by the stuff I've been writing. Like, so the stuff I'm putting on the new album that I'm working on is like, I'm just like so freaking uninspired in general that I'm just trying to, I'm just throwing everything I can at from all different sources, not just John. So, I mean, that's another reason why I just haven't really revisited John as much, because I don't want to be as influenced by his sound as I normally am.
This is a good time to get back in it. You mentioned it before. It's like the tour just started off. What a better time to kick off season two. And even though it's kind of like an unofficial season two, we didn't really mean to do seasons, but, you know, it kind of made sense. I was like, we might as well just call it season two to end that. Yeah. Sob Rock kind of ended the last season, even though that was like 30 episodes or something.
right.
Yeah, 30 episodes.
This is episode 30, I think.
Yeah. So, so we're starting off, and our plans for this season, let's just say, you know, as long as we're going to go here, is we're going to start doing a year in the life of John Mayer. So I don't know when we're going to start. We haven't really decided that yet, Jeff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be 99, 2000, 2001. I mean, you could really probably start in 97, but there's probably not a lot of details you can find. Probably 99, 2000, 2001 are probably the
times. I would say, you know,
Inside Once
birth
Out.
Birth to 1999, basically. Like, just cover, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
Because, I mean, you can kind of cover his high school career with Villanova Junction or whatever the name of the old band was. You can kind of cover all of that, like, in the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Well, let's start with 1977. We'll start A Year in the Life of John Mayer, 1977. And, and then 78, the next episode. But each episode is going to take about a year.
It's a good year for movies, man. I think Star Wars came out that year.
Oh, yeah, it did. So we're going to take a look
and
at
Rocky and Jaws
as we move forward. And we're going to have other guests. We're going to have other topics that we intersperse. But for the most part, each episode is going to be moving forward in a year. So we're going to look at starting probably like 90, probably up until Inside Wants Out. So pre-Inside Wants Out. And then we'll start looking at what happened in 1999. And we're going to do extensive research as much as we can on what happened that year. 2000, what was going on that year with him? Music, albums, entertainment, interviews.
Various appearances, of course.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff that really we didn't get a huge chance to talk about in our album deep dives and stuff like that. Obviously, as we get into the later years, we will have more content because there's probably going to be more to talk about. But
social media, especially being a presence, will help. Will help with any research. Yeah.
So if you, and here's what I was going to ask for our listeners, is if you have any kind of like memorabilia, any kind of stories, any kind of like anecdotes, stuff that's relevant from those early years, send it to us. And we'd love pictures. And, you know, if you took a picture with John, like in 2000 at Eddie's Attic or something, or if you have a ticket stub from, you know, when he played at your local club, like in your town or promotional thing or whatever it may be, anything like that. I'd love stuff like that to kind of share on Instagram. And then we can talk about them a little bit as they make sense in the, on the show. Yeah, so that's kind of going to be the plan moving forward. We will have some interviews with some people. We will have other one-off episodes. But for this season, we're going to start kind of kick off our year in the life of John Mayer. We'll start out with the many years until 99. Mm-hmm. And then each one after that will be the year of. So like 2000, 2001, each episode will focus on those times. Yeah, I'm excited about it. What about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm excited too. And I think there's still other stuff we already had talked about before that we could still explore between those years.
Yeah,
like Where the Light Is commentary, not in one episode, probably break that up in three parts, but stuff like that.
Yeah,
like
we got Mayercraft 2. We still need to talk about.
Did we do Any Given Thursday? Did we do that?
We did. We didn't do a listen.
How do I forget? I feel like this is like the fourth time you've reminded me that we've done that episode. It's just I love that concert so much.
We have Mayercraft 2 we need to talk about. We have Local 83 we still need to talk about.
Yeah, I need to get somebody on from that.
There's a couple other people we want to get on the show. And maybe we'll do a couple of tour recaps with people, you know, as well. So we may be reaching out to people as far as that goes. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. Go leave those positive reviews. We will be back on a normal schedule again. Can't promise it'll be weekly, but it'll at least be regular. Like, you're not going to go months without hearing from us. It'll at least be weekly or every other week or something like that. So we'll let you know on the socials. Go follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and go leave us those positive reviews. And that'll be it, I guess. So take care, everyone. We'll talk to y'all soon. Thanks for listening.